Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
Hello, Patreon listeners, and welcome to the very first show of Delta Green Agent's Dossier. We are going to be doing this show especially for our Patreon backers as just a really big thank you for supporting us, supporting 12 Sided Stories. The way that this is going to work is we're starting out with Michelle as our first agent, and then we're going to slowly work in other agents, as in cast members, as we go along. But for right now, let's introduce Michelle.
Hello. Nice to be talking to all of you. And I'm really excited. I get to play Agent Perla Ayala, and we're going to learn a little bit about her story.
Yeah. So basically, this is before any of the characters have actually joined Delta Green, and then we're going to kind of get everybody into the mix as we go along. So why don't you tell us more about who you're playing and what's her background, all that good stuff.
Well, Perla is, she is currently a professor at the University of Virginia. She is a forensic anthropologist, so she loves to deal with them skeletons. She's very close to her family. Her parents, Jorge and Sylvia, are still alive and actually pretty, not young parents, but young enough. And she has a brother named Peter. She's also married to her husband, Ron Calderon, and they have this nice little life. She's, like I said, a professor of forensic anthropology, and, you know, her husband is also a professor of English, and made that up on the spot.
We can make stuff up. It's a game, after all. The family members and everybody you just mentioned in this game are your bonds. Now, for those of you who've never played, this is the new edition of Delta Green. It's one of my favorite lines or IPs, whatever. Even if you never play a Delta Green game, I think you should own the books. And they don't pay us any money. So they're great. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. It's very close to Call of Cthulhu, but you have bonds, and you can use those bonds to lessen the amount of sanity you have to take. So whenever you have to roll against your sanity, if something horrible happens, then you can use your bonds. But over a while, your bonds start to break down. There starts to be more problems. Delta Green is not, like all Cthulhu games, but probably even worse, is not a game that usually has a happy ending. But that's the ride. That's the fun part, is kind of watching the everything go down. So you're teaching. How popular are your courses? Are you a popular teacher?
I wouldn't say I'm a popular teacher. I mean, I'm well liked, but it's not like people are knocking down my door to take my courses.
Right.
My courses are usually for the more advanced students who are really going to go into forensic anthropology.
So PhD people or masters?
Probably both.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many classes do you teach in a week, do you think? Probably like 3 or 4?
Probably about like 3, because the rest of my time is going to be advising doctoral candidates and things all like that. Yeah.
Okay. So after a long day of teaching, you head back home. Your husband is cooking dinner. He usually gets home. Is he a college professor as well?
Yes. He's okay. Also at the University of Virginia.
Okay. So he gets back a little bit early and is cooking dinner. Does he teach as advanced classes as you, or does he teach the like hundreds and 200s class or something
like
that?
Yeah, he's usually teaching the undergrads.
Okay. So he goes, how was your day? Did you have a good day?
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know, pretty standard day. Not much happened. How about you?
It went well. One of my students left this flyer, and he pulls out this orange flyer with a bunch of band names on there and stuff. He goes, do you remember going to shows?
Oh my God, it's been forever. But this is so cute.
Yeah, it's interesting. This last one's kind of weird. It says it's the Grave's End.
Probably somebody trying to be edgy.
Well, yeah. I think that the picture of the grave with a shovel in the dirt is kind of funny. I'm sure it's like a metal band or something.
Oh, more than likely.
How mortified would students be if we showed up?
They would die. It would be the Grave's End.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy. You think we should go?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Totally.
So you guys have a pretty good rest of the week. And you're sitting in your office on Friday. This show with all these bands is happening on Saturday. You hear a knock on the door, and standing there is a man in a black suit with a red tie, nice like silk tie. He's older, probably in his mid-50s. And he just kind of looks like a Fed,
right.
A stereotypical Fed, except for the fact that he has a colorful tie on. He says, "Ma'am, are you the head of the anthropology courses, or do you teach anthropology?"
I teach forensic anthropology.
Ah, okay. I'm in the right spot. My name is Agent Roos.
Agent?
Yes, I'm with the FBI. And we recently had a discovery at a construction site. It's a set of bones. We're not quite sure what they are. So we were kind of hoping to maybe hire you as a consultant to come down and take a look.
Well, that sounds really interesting. I'd like to see some credentials first, though, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not used to being on campus, and it's kind of weird. And he pulls out a photo and a badge, his wallet, and shows you. He goes, "Here you go. If you're interested, it's actually here in town. They're building a new theater near Scott Stadium, and you know it's not very far. This guy's obviously not a local, so right. Everything seems really far away from him. Anyway, they called us in to check it out. There were some oddities with the bones. And anyway, so if you wouldn't mind going with us, my partner's actually out in the car. If you wouldn't mind driving over with us, you could follow us if you want."
Yeah, I'll probably follow you. Let me just text my husband and let him know.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll meet you out in the parking lot.
All right. I probably have some sort of kit because I've been on a lot of archaeological digs and things like that. So I dig my kit out and head to my car, and I text my husband on my way to the car.
Okay, everything seemed legit?
And I text him back, yeah. I checked his badge, looked legitimate, everything looks good.
All right, so you get out to the car, and his partner's a woman probably a little bit older than he is. She's black with short hair and nice suit on, and her hair is completely white at this point. She says, "Hi, I'm Agent Wells."
"How do you do? I'm Dr. Ayala."
"Oh, it's nice to meet you. You just follow us and come over to the site." So you follow over there, and they've got this large section of ground, like this big square dugout of this area near the sports stadium. And the people is kind of standing around. You can tell it's like crew and management wanting this to be resolved quickly. Agent Wells says, "Well, they called us 2 days ago. At first, we thought we were dealing with a skeleton, and it wasn't going to be that big of a deal. But they said that there was some problem with it. And we had no idea." She's talking to you as you guys are walking down this graded dirt slope. "And as we dug up more, we found more than one skeleton. And so when they found multiple skeletons, that's when they called the FBI. First, they just called the police department,
yeah.
Local PD. So you get down to the bottom, and there's a group of like 20 skeletons, like a mass grave, like they've just been thrown in. And the bones of each of them are fused together. So it's not separate skeletons. It's a bunch of skeletons fused together into one block.
Okay. And I go, "Ooh, I wonder what could have caused this. This is... You're right. It's unusual."
"Yes, it is. What kind of skills do you have? You have anthropology,
I have anthropology, I have forensics, I have archaeology.
Do an archaeology roll first, I would think.
Made it 28 under my 40.
Okay, cool. So you look at it, and the first things that you recognize is the fact that the bones don't look aged. They don't look like they've been in the ground for a very long time. So you have no way to go, oh, it's 5 years old or it's a year old, right, or whatever. But you can tell that they're newish, as it were. The other thing that you notice is that you have like a femur of one skeleton fused into the skull of the next skeleton. So they make a large web of skeletons fused together.
Right.
You can't see like melting or anything. It's almost as if they were alive this way.
It's almost like conjoined
twins, right,
but multiple.
Yeah, like a mass. The other thing that you notice is that it looks like, because you can tell the difference between like their pelvic bones and everything else, it looks like it's all men. There's no women.
Interesting.
Here. Okay.
Are there any other things like in the dirt, around the dirt, that might give me any clues?
Give me a search roll.
I did not make it. 64 over my 40.
Okay, so you're searching around, and yeah, you find this chip of black stone that is out of place. Why it's here, you have no clue. It kind of looks like lava rock, the really shiny black lava rock.
Kind of like obsidian a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. And they have them like all over like Hawaii and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, where there's active volcanoes. Anyway, so it's a really shiny rock that looks like a triangle, mm-hmm, and it's really thin. Obviously, someone created it.
It doesn't look like an arrowhead?
No, it doesn't. It looks like a perfectly measured out triangle that's about, each side is about an inch.
Hmm. Okay. Can I tell the ages of the skeletons at all?
You're going to have to do more research for that. Like, you know, how old they were in their lives?
Yeah.
Give me a forensics roll.
Yes, 38 under my 50.
Okay. Most of them look like they were in their late 20s and mid 40s.
Hmm. Okay.
So a good 20-year span.
Okay. Well, from what I can tell, all of these skeletons are male, 20s to 40s, but they're all blended together, like organically. Not, it doesn't look like they were burned and the bones fused somehow. It looks like they grew this way, which is, makes no sense to me. And I found this, and I showed them the triangle thing, which definitely looks man-made, but without a full team here.
Agent Russ says, what do you mean team? Like an archaeological dig?
Yes. I mean, you know, because you would need archaeologists, you'd need a geologist to find out more about these, this black rock. We would need, you know, we would need anthropologists just to understand some of the history of the area.
Agent Wells says, is that something that you could put together?
Yeah, actually I could.
All right, well, we'll have human resources give you a call and talk about how much all this is going to cost. And I'll go tell the overweight gentleman up there with the odd look on his face that he won't be able to start working again for another... how long do you think this will all take?
This is going to take a while. I mean, this could take weeks, if not months.
Not my problem. And then Wells starts to walk up the thing.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Am I able to tell, like, ethnicity as far as, is it, are they Native American? Are they African American?
No, not right off.
Are they European?
That's a little bit deeper dive that you would have to do a lot more research, like longer hours. You're even a little sketchy on how old they were when they died, because you have your field kit, but some stuff just, it takes a lot longer.
Okay. So I go back to the university and I have to start talking to the higher ups about assembling a team and giving us the time to do it and everything like that, because that's not something you could just do,
right?
You know, on a whim. And so, so I'm going through the process of that.
Okay. Who would you go to in particular? Like, would you go straight to like the dean, or would you go to the head of your department?
Probably the head of my department first.
What's the head of your department's name?
Really?
Yep.
Joy Crandall.
Wow, that's a good name. I like that. Joy Crandall. So you're heading over to Joy Crandall's office.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, come in. It's so nice to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joy. How are you?
Oh, you know, every day is good. How can I help you?
Well, something very interesting happened to me today.
Uh-huh.
And I had actually an agent from the FBI show up at my office.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
It was. They're actually, what happened was they are digging for a new theater in town, you know, over by the stadium.
Yes, I know. It's...
And they found some skeletal remains, a lot of them. And they asked if I would put together a team to go and dig it out and figure out what happened there.
Well, so they don't think it's a like foul play kind of thing. It's...
No, but it is different.
Well, I think the best way to go about it is to talk to your students and find out, you know, maybe pick students that want to work for either extra credit or as part of their thesis or project. Start with them. Is the FBI footing the bill for this?
That's the best news. Yes, they are.
Well, then I'm completely okay with all of it. As long as my budget doesn't have to take a hit, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Exactly. I know I'm going to need other professors.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I would like to see what the site looks like.
Oh, that would be lovely.
I mean, if it's as interesting as you say.
Well, I do need an archaeologist for the dig. I would love to have you come along. I figured we could work around our teaching schedules and... It's close enough by. It's not like we're flying to, you know, some other country or something.
True, true. No, I agree. All right. Well, do you teach tomorrow?
No, actually, tomorrow's one of my off days.
So you don't have any classes tomorrow. It's Saturday. Let's say Tuesday.
Okay.
That gives you a few days to get the group together, and we can all go out there and see what's what.
All right. I think this is going to be really interesting.
Should be. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks.
We're going to fast forward to you guys going to the show.
Okay.
You have sent out all the emails. You have most the PhD candidates who are not completely burnt out at this point are really excited. The ones who just wanted to end are like, all right, fine, we'll be there. You also have a lot of just volunteers, people who pop up who are like, oh, I really want to do this. There are your overachievers, you know, anything that looks good on a resume also popping up. So you guys put on your, what you feel is like your best outfits to go to a place where someone your age probably hasn't been to in a while.
Okay.
So, you know, your husband has on jeans and a t-shirt. And what would you be wearing?
Probably similar, like jeans and a t-shirt, maybe like a little jacket, like, you know.
Right, right. You guys head over there, and the first, like, most of it is pretty hardcore metal stuff. I don't know, is that something you think you guys would even enjoy?
Probably not, but we're just laughing because it's all so silly.
Are you guys drinking at all?
I'll probably have a beer.
Okay. So you have a beer and you're watching, and then Gravesend finally comes on because they're like the headliner. They've got on the white makeup with the black around their eyes and everything. And, you know, they look like Norwegian. They look like a Norwegian death metal band, definitely. And they start to play. there's a dissonance in the melody that is hitting your brain wrong. It just, it kind of starts to really feel like you're almost like you're underwater and everything's kind of muted in a way. Like everybody's like dancing and running around in a mosh pit kind of thing. And they look like they are turning back into like apes.
Right.
They're kind of slumped over and they're hitting each other and they're screaming and everything. And your husband turns around and just starts throwing up. Make a sand check for me.
Yes, 43 under my 70.
Okay, so you are, for whatever reason, keeping yourself above the threshold of whatever the hell this is. And you see he's throwing up and having a really hard time. And that the crowd is getting more and more dangerous. Like some of them seem to be like attacking each other, biting each other's faces, doing horrible primitive caveman kind of stuff. The band seems like they're far away. The music is right there all around you, but there's definitely a strange temporal distance between you and them as they're cranking through this song that's just bizarre. What do you want to do?
I think I grab my husband's wrist and try and get him to the door.
He doesn't fight you, and you guys get out of the door. What do you want to do?
I want to get as far away from the building as I can because I'm seeing what was going on in there was dangerous, you know? So I try and get him to the car.
Okay. When you guys get in the car, you look up and you notice that there are two figures. You can't make them out because they're all in black with black hoods. And they look like they're armed. And they go through the front door. You can still kind of hear the music all the way out to where you're at because those clubs don't have the greatest whatever.
Right.
And then you can hear the popping of automatic gunfire. And then there's just silence. Do you leave before they come out, or do you watch from the car?
Get down the block a couple blocks and then call 911.
Okay. You leave, you go down, you call up 911 and report what you've seen. And they say, okay, we're going to stay where you're at. We're going to send a car down. Sure enough, within 5 to 10 minutes, a bunch of cops show up and they locate you. You explain to them what happened. Takes down all your information, doesn't give you any indication of what's happened, just says, you know, thank you for your time, and kind of sends you on your way. The next morning, which is going to be Sunday.
Right.
You wake up and there's no mention of it at all in the newspapers. There's no nothing.
Sounds like Burbank.
So there's no mention of any, like, gunplay, no police, anything. So I'm going to jump forward again. Your husband's sick the entire day Sunday. It takes him a while. Monday morning, he's feeling much better.
Oh, good. Okay.
Tuesday, after you've gotten everybody together, you get to the site. And the foreman that of the dig sites, you know, asking a ton of questions. How long is this going to take? Why does this have to happen? Can't you move all the bodies out anyway so we can keep working? Yada, yada, yada. And Dr. Crandall is just like, look, we don't want to move anything until we find out what we have. We're going to start moving stuff out as we figure out what's going on. Because there's obviously a lot of bodies here. So you start to dig for a good portion of the day.
Now, are the agents there?
The agents aren't there this time.
Okay. And I forgot, I'm sorry, the male agent's name?
Agent Roos and then Agent Wells. Agent Roos is the older white gentleman, and then Agent Wells is the older black agent. So a couple days go by, and as they dig deeper, they find that the area of skeletons covers about a 30 by 30 foot square.
Yikes.
Perfectly, right? And there are several more skeletons than originally thought. And as they get down to the first layer, they realize that there are skeletons that are on top of each other.
So it's not just one layer of skeletons. It's like...
It's, yeah.
Huge.
It's like a big block of skeletons going down.
Yeah.
You can see through it. Like there's like you can see through holes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's mortar or anything holding them together. And at some point, Dr. Crandall comes up to you and goes, I thought we'd be able to unearth at least the mass of this and move it, but it's very deep.
I know. This is so bizarre. I mean, it's a perfect 30 by 30 square. I'm wondering if it's a perfect 30 by 30 cube. Do we need to dig on either side 30 feet down till we get to the bottom of it and then somehow extract it in one piece?
How do you extract a 30 by 30 foot cube of fused together skeletons?
Very carefully. No.
I mean, I think we should definitely keep digging, but it might be a while till we get it completely free of the earth.
Yeah. I guess the best we can do is dig as much as we can and document as much as we can so that if it does break, we at least have photographs.
Right. Makes sense.
Because it's even too big to, like, you know how archaeologists will put stuff in, like, a foam or, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's even too much for that. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You spend the next few days digging, and sure enough, it keeps going down and going down. It's literally thousands of skeletons fused together in different angles and everything else. Some of it defies some logic. And as you go farther down, people on the site start to get a little shaken. I need you to make a sand check as well, just because looking at this every day is making your brain hurt.
I made it a 10.
Okay, so you're still okay. You're still able to kind of say that there has to be a logical explanation for this. So on Thursday night, you drive up and your husband's car is not there. And he's already texted you that he's going out with some friends to watch some game or something like that. Something innocuous. And when you park, you notice that the door between your house and the garage is open.
I'm probably still weirded out by the whole experience Saturday and everything that's going on. I don't know if I feel comfortable just walking into my house.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
I don't know.
You're just sitting in your car.
I'm sitting in my car. Like, so... Have I pulled into the garage already?
Yes, you pulled in and then you realize that the door going into the house, leading into the house is open.
Well, then I might not think anything of it because my husband may have just left it open.
Okay.
So I guess I just walk in, honey.
You hear what sounds to be like sizzling from the kitchen.
Okay. Is there anything in the garage, like a bat or a golf club or something? Okay, I grab a bat.
All right.
And I slowly, like, try and peek around the corner to the kitchen.
You see a guy standing there. He's got on a very similar black outfit to the one that you saw the gunmen in. Standing there, he's got a couple of eggs cooking on your stove. Can you give me a stealth roll?
Wow, 10 again, under my 30.
All right, so you're kind of looking at him. He flips the eggs over, puts it on a couple pieces of bread, some ham, puts it on. What are you going to do?
Do I recognize him?
No.
But he's just cooking eggs in my house.
Basically, yes.
can I help you?
You know, if you had better soda in this house, it would be nice. That would be a good start. He picks up the sandwich and takes a big bite. And that's where we're going to stop it before you can say anything. So thank you very much for playing, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I hope everybody enjoyed our first episode of Delta Green Agent Dossier. We appreciate you guys listening. We really appreciate your support of the show. Our goal with these shows is to probably put out two a month. That would be probably where they're not going to be as long as our normal shows, but they're still going to be cool. So yeah, that's good.
Loads of fun.
Michelle and I are on Plate Mail Games. She's at what? Where are you at? Michulu?
At Michulu, M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. That's where you can find me on the socials, usually Twitter.
Yeah, I'm pretty much Twitter too. And you can find our stuff on DriveThruRPG or on BattleBards under Plate Mail Games. So if you're interested in sound effects, check those out. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we look forward to talking at you soon.